My name is Dana Vinke. I'm principal librarian for the Torrance Public Library. I've been there for quite some time. I was left on the doorstop years ago, raised by librarians. So this is actually where I live. This was built in the early 70s, late 60s, and it's named after Katie Geisert, which is our namesake. Katie Geisert worked really hard to develop our library in Torrance and make it a separate entity from the County of Los Angeles. So we used to be part of the County of Los Angeles library system. And today we have five branches plus our main library. If you guys are familiar, most people, many people don't know Torrance Library, so I'll say Redondo Beach, and then people think of the Beach Boys, and then they're like, okay, we're just close. We're very close. In fact, Torrance has like a small little strip of beach we're very proud of. Yeah. Yes, I can. All right. All right, as long as you smile. As long as you smile. I need, what, over here? All right, this reminds me of auditioning. Okay, so, thank you. That's a good, all right. Okay, so we have a large population that we serve, about 150,000 residents, but our active users are about 50,000, and we serve people all over the South Bay, not just in Torrance. In fact, we did a little mapping of our people that we serve, and we serve people up and down the library. So people have a library card. What that means is we live in a digital age, right? So people can get a library card and use the library and never have to step foot in the library for several years as long as they have a library card. So they can use our online services all over. So that's nice. And then you can realize we only do state of California. Nothing against Nevada, but, you know, please, you got to be a resident of the state of California. And then we did a little bit of mapping of our residents in the South Bay. And this is pretty interesting. I'm not going to go into it tonight. But we actually can do some demographic data like a lot of the stores. So we can find out who our users are demographically and who our non-users are demographically. And then we can work on targeting people that haven't maybe been aware of the library, used the library in a long time. And of course, we're very cognizant of people's privacy. So we strip all the privacy information away and we just keep the residential data. And we are able to explore a lot of statistics on our usage. We also do old school interlibrary loan. Does anybody know what interlibrary loan is? Yeah? All right. You're a genealogy. You got to know interlibrary loan if you're a genealogist, right? So we actually receive hundreds of physical materials all over the country for genealogy reasons. Not just genealogy, for print books, for everything. And then we also ship books all over the country. So we're constantly, people want to borrow our books, and we want to borrow their books. And we actually not just serve, we don't just serve Southern California, Torrance, the state. We serve the entire country. But we provide a lot of online resources as well. So we provide access to all these great things. Licensed databases, I'm going to talk briefly about genealogy. It's awesome. And we provide online homework assistance. Yeah, we actually have an app you can download in the App Store. And we have ebooks, and we're going to have downloadable audiobooks as well, so you can stream those. We have Wi-Fi at all our locations. We actually have the physical desktop. Somebody said they were going away, but they're in a lot of use at our library. And we actually have computers that are for people with certain disabilities. So we have computer stations that raise and lower, that have magnification on them, have text-to-speech type of software on it. So we're trying to serve everybody in our community. This is one of our databases that once you have a library card, you have access to. It's called A to Z databases. So you can access not just all the businesses. You can find people on this. You can actually look for jobs on there. The best analogy I use is if you're a business and you want to sell to dry cleaning stores, you can use this database from home with your library card and get all the dry cleaners in a specific area or demographic or on a street or in a zip code or however you want to do it. It's a great way, a great tool to market your business. It's a great tool. Do you have a question? My URL. Yes, that's a good one. www. I'm stuck. No, okay. It's library, the word library, .torrents.ca.gov. And if you pick up one of these chip clips, not only do they keep your chips fresh, not only do you have a magnet, but they have the URL on them. So I'm going to give that to you. If you just clip that to yourself and look at it later, that'll be great. So, and then we have our historic newspapers, our archive. We went and we digitized all our historic newspapers for the area in Torrance. So if I was looking up my grandpappy, let's not go there. But anyway, if I was, I could look him up in our online resource, and I can use ancestry.com at the library as well. So some of you might be used to that. But the newspapers are really awesome. I just like going through them all the time. Mango languages. You can learn a language for free using the library. You can download our app, and you can learn everything from Japanese to German, and they even have pirate. I'm not kidding there. It's you can actually learn pirate. They have a national pirate speaking day. They've got the whole tutorial. You can learn a language if you're traveling, or you can go more in depth and learn it, immersion-wise. But they have the other nice feature that Mango Languages has is they have videos. They have foreign films, and so you can learn with the subtitles as you're watching the foreign film. You can learn the language. So it's a really great service, and again, it's free with your library card, and you can use it from anywhere as long as you have internet. We have online tutor help. And I just pulled some data. So, like, I don't know if you remember that. I remember going home and having trouble with my homework. You know, my mom tried to help me, and she just it didn't work out. My mom was not good at pre-calculus. But we can now go home, and the kids can access these tutors with a computer for free through the library, and they're educated, well-versed in that particular subject. And they don't just give them the answers, they help them figure it out on their own, but they get them to that point. So now we find that we help thousands of students a year do better in all of these areas of school that they might have been at a loss at, right, when they get home and there's no help at home. Now they have a qualified tutor that can help them out. And you can actually see that most of the sessions are happening at home. There's our app. A lot of features that we have on our website are here, but one unique feature that we incorporated recently is a historic walking tour. So now, when you're walking around historic Torrance and you bring up our app, the GPS shows you where you are, and it says, where's a historic landmark? And I can click on that, and it tells me about that historic landmark. And now I'm working on an audio component so you can actually listen to about the historic landmark, right? So that was a lot of fun. You know, so we're helping kind of keep our history alive. We have ebooks, and we'll soon have downloadable streaming audiobooks. A lot of bestsellers are ebooks. I wish this was my retirement portfolio, but it's not. It's how well our ebooks are doing. Our ebooks are doing great, and people are adopting them more and more. And so a lot of people will tell me, they say, well, you know, do people use a physical computer anymore? Don't they have their phones and their tablets? Well, this is our computer usage at just our main library. So people come in all the time to use our computers because they either don't have one at home or they don't have the bandwidth that we have at the library. And our branch computers, a lot of usage at our branches and at our homework centers. So the kids are using the homework centers after school to complete their homework. I'll talk briefly about the digital divide, and then I'll do my quick sales pitch. Back when I was in school, the digital divide had to do with access. You know, they were talking about how nobody had access to the internet. It cost a lot. So libraries were investing a lot in internet and PCs for the public, and we still do. It's not cheap, and people certainly do use that. But over the last decade or so, we've made a lot of strides in getting people access. So the digital divide now, as we talk about it, has to do with knowledge and use and skill, right? So now people have the access, but they're still lacking a key component, and that's skill. So this is a long message about it. I don't read about it. I can email it to you. But basically, the digital divide still exists for a lot of communities, especially rural areas where they don't have access to the internet or as many services as we have in urban areas. Libraries, as I said, would try to confront this digital divide or bridge it by using Wi-Fi computers or even lending devices, and some libraries lend hotspots so that people can access the internet. Oh. Hotspots. So those would be, they're basically little cellular devices that act as a Wi-Fi hotspot. So as long as you have cellular service, you can have a Wi-Fi access. I actually have one in my bag, but some libraries lend those in the South Bay. It's okay, they're fans. They're just waiting for me at soccer afterwards. I got a tight schedule. So anyway, the new digital divide, as I said, you can break the digital divide, the current digital divide, into two major categories. One is digital literacy, and you don't have to read that all again. It's not an eye chart. I'm just going to break it down for you. Digital literacy is in the content people are absorbing from like Facebook, Twitter, what have you. Do they have the critical thinking skills and the ability to cipher out what is true and what is accurate? And can they do the research? Can they critically think about the data that they're getting in? That's digital literacy. And the other one that we're really concerned with is technology skills, because we find that we have a lot of services that people can't take advantage of because they don't know how to download an ebook on their device. Some of them, surprisingly, haven't created an email account. Some of them have trouble operating Microsoft Word. So libraries, including Torrance, has been trying to develop, and some are very successful, some aren't, one-on-one training where a person makes an appointment, they come in and you tell me how to download ebooks or how to use Facebook, classes, and even some online tutorials. So recently, we did a pilot project. We did a grant where we decided to identify a target group of people in the community that needed technological help. And one of my colleagues, who's really smart, said, you know, we have some seniors in the community that need this help, and we have teens that are very tech savvy. So we did a TechSpert program. So we were trying to get the two together. And it was a very successful limited program where we were able to get teens to come in by appointment and meet with people that needed technological assistance. And that worked out well, but then the program ended. We were able to help over 100 individuals with the technological assistance program called TechSperts. So in the future, we're interested in revamping that particular program. And part of that particular revamp would be recruiting additional volunteers. We like having the teens, but the only issue with the teens was just a little unreliable. It was hard to get them into the library at a specific time and date, you know, it was tough. So now we broaden out the volunteer program to include, you know, anybody, adults that would like to help teach other adults how to use particular programs. We don't want to have the program be everything. We want to limit it down to the things that really impact people, like social media, like downloading ebooks, like using specific programs that we have available at the library. Because what I found from doing my own training with individuals is once I was able to give them just that one little bit, like once I showed somebody how to download an ebook, they were out the door. You know, they were like, I can't wait. They went out and they started downloading ebooks, you know. They were so excited and so happy. And when you see that happen, then you really want to make it happen for as many people as possible. So what I have done is I've left some volunteer applications. And if people are interested in volunteering for a program like this, I have my business cards. We have some volunteer sheets. I ask you, you just take the tchotchkes. You don't have to volunteer. But if you're interested in volunteering, you can certainly contact me. And it's a way for us to get into the community and teach them some very basic technological skills that will really have a big difference, make a big difference in a person's life. You know, anybody who's struggled with something, you know, it's something that we take for granted as simple as maybe Facebook or email. We have a lot of people in the community that they need a little hand holding, they need a little assistance with it. And I'm sure we've all been there, and that's what we're trying to do with our textbook program. And I was at a library conference down here, and I saw your guys' flyer, and I saw you guys are help users helping users, users for users. And I thought, this group might be the perfect group to come and talk to and say, if you're interested, you can contact me. Do you have any questions about any of the services that I talked about, any of the programs, anything else that you might want to add? Yeah. Okay, no, go ahead, sir, yes. Oh, sorry. No,
Torrance, and when you get the card.
Well, it's too many questions.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. It's okay. A Torrance Public Library card, and you only have to renew it every 3 years.
How do you get it?
It's free.
How do you get it?
Well, no, because El Segundo, they charge, like, I don't know what's going on El Segundo. I love El Segundo, but, you know, please, I don't know. It's free in Torrance.
How do you get the card?
I'll tell you the one thing that you have to do is you have to come to the library once. You can fill out application, and as long as you live in the state of California, not Nevada, nothing against Nevada, but you live in the state of California, you get a free card 3 years. And a lot of the other libraries have a lot of similar services. We're not Coke or Pepsi. You know, if you want to belong to the county or LA or anybody else, I don't mind. You know,
one other question is,
if
you have a
cards.
Book in L.A. County L.A. Library is out of them or doesn't have it, can you ship it to L.A. branches, L.A. Library branches?
We do have an agreement where we will get the books back to their home. Yes. Any other questions? Yes.
One of my complaints about my branch library, I'm L.A. because it's a 50-mile round trip to go to your city, so you won't see me very often down there. Is about CDs, DVDs, tapes, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they refuse to have little booths and stuff for rooms where you can try out the tape, watch a movie, listen to music with earphones on. What do you feature, and do you have many tapes and CDs, DVDs? Yes, no, what?
We have a lot. And then in addition...
Do you have a place to listen, watch them?
We don't, but...
Why not?
I'll tell you this. I go one better. We're... getting, and a lot of other libraries are doing this, they're getting streaming services, much like Netflix. So with your library card, you can listen to music, you can download or stream movies, so then you can do it from home, you know. So we might not have the listening booths. I remember when I was a kid, we used to have them. I remember that. I used to put the records on. It was fun.
Well, but right, some people don't have a computer.
No, absolutely, you're right.
That's why you should have a listening booth in another room.
I agree with you.
I do.
Hold on a sec. One at a time, please.
How does what you do affect copyright on material? Because books are copyrighted.
Correct? Right.
What does the author get by your doing this? You're just giving it off free everywhere.
No, actually, the publishers, oddly enough, operate much like they did when it was print when it comes to ebook and streaming. So the library has to pay per item, and the publisher will put certain restrictions on that. So some of them will say you can buy it for a certain amount of money and you get that material for a year and then it goes away. Some of them charge you 4 times the amount of a physical book because they say, well, you're going to have it forever. So, you know, they get their money, believe me, and the authors get their share. So everybody's good. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
Let me get the microphone.
I do this at my programs all the time, and I appreciate it because people can't hear the questions. Yeah.
Hi, yes. What about vision impaired people? Like your e-books, can they be audio or?
That is a really good question. And we made it part of our agreement with the vendor that these e-books that we allow for people to check out work with the operating system to do text-to-speech, and to have a lot of neat things that a book can't do. Like, they'll invert the color, because that's sometimes better for people. They'll enlarge the text. There are a lot of features in the e-books that actually go much further in accommodating people with visual issues.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions?
You mentioned your foreign language services.
Yes.
Do you, two languages I'm interested in, do you feature material in Klingon and Dothraki?
You know, I would tell you this. I wouldn't be surprised if Mango Languages would do it. You have to take a look. They are so clever and fun. They came up with Pirate, and I think they come up with a lot of cool... I bet you they do have it. I bet you. That's a good question, though. I like that. I would like to learn Dothraki.
Any other questions? What are your hours of service?
Yeah, our hours are on the website, but during the school year, we're open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 5:30, and then Sundays we're open during the school year from 1 to 5. We won't be open Sundays again until September, but otherwise we're open quite often, yeah.
Other questions?
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Roger, I'm very familiar with Los Angeles.
Yes.
One of the problems is there's a lot of throttling down. You sit there and do email or doing research, looking up a website or something like that. It slows down to a halt.
Right.
Because, you know, the whole library system is jammed with people in there. Almost every day I go in there, particularly weekends,
right,
after work hours, it's jammed. Now, you got a pretty high-speed system. I'm talking about right sitting there, not necessarily Wi-Fi.
Right.
I'm talking about sitting at a desk in front of a computer.
I would say that
you don't have a big city, but you have a high speed, you're going to get throttled down.
We do, and our desktops, especially at Maine, are really fast. And then we've applied and received a grant through Scenic, which will provide 10 gigabytes to every location. And that's coming hopefully in the fall or early next year. So that's going to bring the bandwidth that they're providing the university and college libraries to our public libraries in every branch. So that's a lot. We fought really hard for that because we know one of the services is access, and dollar for dollar, it's the best service we can provide. Just letting people have access to the Internet itself opens the door for a lot of people. So we're invested in that. Can I power that down?
Thank you. I sort of missed your answer to the question. Did I understand that Torrance is an independent librarian? Or can I use my county card there?
It is an independent city library, but you know, we got a lot of great restaurants in Torrance. We got a revamped mall. Spend the day, get a library card, and then you'll have access to all these wonderful services. I should also say that a lot of our local libraries, like the county, Redondo, you probably have a library in your neighborhood that has a lot of these similar services. So you know, I'm a fan of getting as many library cards as possible, and that way you have access to as many services as there are out there. So do that.
Can you register at any branch or only at the main library?
At any branch during operational hours, and if you say my name, you get a donut. That's not true. That's not true. Don't do that. I would like actually someone to show up and try that, though. See what happens. Yeah, try again, yeah. You said you get a free donut. What happened? How about a cup of coffee? I appreciate you guys taking the time. It's been a lot of fun, and I like to tell people about our services. And we would like to revamp our program so we can start doing the TechSperts again, because we have a lot of people and a lot of demand in the community for basic technological skills. Yeah.
On that map, which showed places where you had access, there were a couple rather large white areas right here in Southern California.
Yeah.
Does that mean that there's some people there that don't want to cooperate? Or?
That's a good question. I thought that myself. It turns out those are industrial areas. So one closest to us is actually ExxonMobil. And a lot of the people living in the refinery don't have cars. Now, they're like the refinery, so there's nobody really there. They're big empty. Yeah, one's the airport, certainly, yeah. So we encourage pilots to get library cards too, but when you see those big squares, they tend to be like industrial.
Not while they're flying.
Well, they could be reading an e-book. Oh, he's got it. You got a question? Oh. I like that. I think it's a good idea. Yes.
Time for one more question.
Yeah.
As a veteran of the public library system, What's the current state of printed volumes, and what do you see for the future?
Wait.
Back well, I mean,
volumes? Like physical?
Printed books.
Printed books. You know what? One of the first slides that I showed shows that we circulate 1.5 million materials a year. And our e-books, we're circulating maybe, we haven't reached 1,000 a month yet. I think that will happen, but right now we're so far off, it's such a fraction. I think the thing is that we're still a brick-and-mortar institution. I think that print is still going to be very valuable and very important. And another quick thing about print, sorry. So much of the print material is not available in e-content yet, and maybe never will be. I know Google scanned a lot of stuff, but making that available to people is still very limited. So I wouldn't hold my breath. I think we're going to be in a print world for at least 10 years or more.
I'm sure you've been in some public libraries, some newer ones, various jurisdictions build, and you go in and, you know, when they have a big budget and they have a big modern steel and glass place and screens everywhere and whatnot, but you don't see a heck of a lot of bookshelves and they don't have stacks.
Well, come to our library.
Okay.
You'll see stacks.
Good.
Stacks as far as the eye can see. Three floors of stacks.
Excellent.
Yeah. But I'm glad, and it will still be a print to...
Oh, I was not going to do it since he told me to shut up.
No.
Not you, him.
Oh, all right.
So what I wanted to...
No, go ahead. Okay, go ahead, please. Go right ahead. No, go ahead. Please.
Okay, I appreciate you being here. I'm thrilled that you're being here. I know Laura, who's the manager of the library in Culver City.
Nice.
I know one of the executives at Barnes & Noble in New York.
Yeah.
It's all coming to a point, I promise. And Adam, if you know Adam, who was a librarian throughout L.A. County.
Nice.
He's no longer gone. Megan in his place, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. Okay, the reason I'm bringing that up is I never understood why pharmacists don't charge, and I never understood why you can go into a library and read anything you want almost, or they will order it from another library.
That's true.
The chances of not getting it are rare.
Rare.
So then when Culver City... closed its library, which it did and renovated, but I got scared because it closed. When Barnes & Noble closed on Pico and Westwood, I called my pal at Barnes & Noble, and he says, no, they tripled our rent, so we left. All right. But that led to a conversation with Barnes & Noble, and that led to a conversation with the library. Yeah. And I found out that Barnes & Noble is doing more than ever before because people start out online. And they're turned off with reading online. So, but it planted a seed. And then they go into Barnes & Noble or the library and buy. When I spoke to Adam about, I'm scared about the modernization of a library, not to mention all the other modernizations, but the modernization of a library, he said that it's going to be cost effective. It doesn't mean that people are not interested in books. It's just easier when you go in and you look up a book online. Rather than keep books on the shelves. Although I do believe with this guy, there's nothing like going in and getting the smell of books on a shelf. But it's cost effective, and that's what they say the future of the library is going to be. Do you agree with that? Is your library eventually going to be what Culver City is?
I have to tell you that we have so many young people coming in and scooping up stacks of physical books. I don't doubt that e-books and downloadable audio will become a part of our lives if they haven't already. But I think that people are omnivores, and people will listen to an audiobook, they'll read a little bit of an e-book, and then at night, because I don't know about you, but having an iPad like hit you in the face as you're falling asleep, it's not a pleasant thing. But, you know, people are omnivores, and they like to graze. And I think, very similar to what you guys got going on here tonight, I think this is really humanity. This is interaction. This is the exchange of information, right? Will online completely ever replace that? I don't know. Maybe not in my lifetime. I hope not in my lifetime. I think people are still going to want to browse books. People are going to want to share. They want to get together and discuss ideas. I don't know if that will go away anytime soon. I do think it's cost-effective and efficient. And if somebody gets to check out a book to read to their child on Sunday night because we're closed, I think that's great. That's an enhancement of our services. It's not a replacement. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. But thank you. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
While you were talking, I just looked you up online, and I looked for the Mongo languages.
Yes.
But I thought maybe I can get a sample, but I can't unless I am a member. So if I want to learn a language,
yes.
I can go anytime, unlimited time, go on and learn the language.
Yes, yes. And we're not the only library that has Mongo languages, but if you download the app 24/7, as long as you have internet access, it'll save your spot. You can progress. It's really got a really cool pronunciation system where it will record your voice saying the word and then match it to the person that says it right, so you can kind of get the inflection right. It's a lot of cool things in that. But again, you know, I talk about torrents, but a lot of libraries have different versions of the same thing, or they have Mongo languages. And once you get a card, you can use that.
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Anything.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I want to take one more question, and then we'll...
Thank you, this guy, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
You got a question, get a microphone.
What is your prediction, let me say in 10 years from now, there are hard copy, CD, or anything like that. What is the trend? Many of bookstores have closed, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what is your future vision of state of the publication in form of book, hard copy, or more e-book or so?
I think we're seeing a lot of self-publish, and there's a lot. I mean, the internet and the ability for people to just publish online is a great thing for the exchange and the economy of ideas. So I think that's definitely the future. But I also think that the future of libraries has been and always will be community. So we will endeavor to continue that effort and have programs and engage the public and bring people together, because I think that's in our nature. But I do think that things, you know, will trend online. But I think for the foreseeable future, we'll still have a mix. So I want to thank you guys.
Yeah. And then I guess the other thing that will influence whether we stay in print or go online is the changing language.
Right.
The next generation that's coming up don't write the same way that people
write. Absolutely.
And so I think in time that will influence, the
Absolutely.
Type of mode in which people present information. Let's thank Dana for this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.